We're going to save the footy chat for a little bit later on, boys, and obviously kick things off with Danny. He was an incredible football figure, wasn't he, Ando? And the sadness really has swept across the football community this week.
Yeah, Danny Frawley was the country boy who lived the dream.
The boy from Bungaree.
Boy from Bungaree. So around that time, there were players such as Greg Williams, who was trying to forge his way from Bendigo League, a young fella called Gary Ablett from Myrtleford Footy Club and the Amazon Murray. Peter Dean from Gippsland. There was Tommy Alvin from Gippsland. There were some really good players came through the country leagues. A guy called Tony Lockett from Ballarat was okay. Mick, he managed to snag a couple of goals later on in his career. Greg Burns and Jeff Cunningham, who were great mates of Danny from Ballarat. And he was part of that. And I think Danny remained a country person all the way through, even though he came, lived in Melbourne with his wife Anita and three daughters, who we coached two of them to a premiership last year with Old Halebury, which I think was one of the greatest moments in his career. I saw him around that time coaching the girls down at Caulfield Grammar, and he was so into it. And he had that face that lit up, always the big smile. He was like one of those clowns you used to put the ping pong balls into at the show, because they always had the permanent smile on their face. And Danny was like that when we saw him. But there was obviously another Danny, as there is with all of us.
Yeah.
And sadly, Mick, in the end, that other Danny obviously weighed very heavily on his frame of mind.
Yeah, it was awful news, wasn't it, when it came through. I always remember that State of Origin game, Ando. Not sure what year it was, but when Teddy Whitten did the
1995,
and he did the lap. And prior to that, he was in the rooms, and I think he must have been blind at that stage or near blind, Ted. And so Danny had him by the arm, and he was introducing that. There's Plugger, or there's Gary Ablett, there's Sauce, and Teddy. You know, it was just, and I suppose playing for St Kilda too, Ando. And Lauren, you would know as a Saints person, not a lot of success as a player at St Kilda, but I think he played 11 state games, Danny, and that was where a lot of those guys in that era got their success from, or their higher honours in football.
11 state games is significant. Good players, a lot of really good players haven't played double figures for Victoria, so that tells you how good he could be. The selectors trusted him, and Ted Whitten was one of those selectors.
Yeah.
Because if you sent him out to do a job, and as Gary Ablett Sr. would attest, because I think they played on each other about 14 times in the VFL, then AFL, and I reckon Gary, I think it was about 30 goals that he kicked in those 14 games, which for Gary Sr., that's a very low average, isn't it?
It is. You mentioned the lack of success for St Kilda in that time, Mick, but it was Danny, and it mustn't go without recognising it. He was the captain that led St Kilda back to the finals for the first time in, I think it was 18 years. It was an incredible drought for the Saints, who have obviously got just about the longest premiership drought in the competition. And I think for St Kilda people, I mean, that's probably what resonates most with them were those characters during that time, because obviously there wasn't the premiership success to identify with. But, you know, that sort of early 90s period, Ando, of, you know, Stuart Lowe, Nathan Burke, Robert Harvey, Tony Lockett and Spud. That was sort of Nicky the Winmar. Big five and Nicky, wasn't it?
Are you speaking about 1991?
I am, yes.
I would argue strongly that St Kilda was treated incredibly badly that year by a final system that was just wrong. Blatantly wrong. Mm. I went to the finals, one of the greatest finals I've ever seen, out at Waverley. Geelong played St Kilda. Plugger, I think he kicked, I'm looking at Damien Tardow, 9 goals, and Billy Brownless kicked 8 at the other end. And St Kilda had finished, I'm going to say, 3rd that year. I reckon Hawthorn and West Coast were probably the top two sides, and Geelong and St Kilda. And it was they 3rd and 4th played, I think, and it was an elimination final. They went straight out. It was just wrong. They lost by a kick or whatever. Ken Sheldon coached them really well to get them there, and that should never have been the case. And that side was good enough to win a premiership that particular year. That was the year I look back on and think St Kilda were really unlucky.
So what year was that?
91.
That was 91.
That wasn't when he was pushing and shoving Tony Shaw. That was the year after.
At the coin toss, that's right. And then they, of course, ended up being colleagues at Collingwood with Danny as his assistant. But as you mentioned, Ando didn't win the premiership that year, and Danny spoke years later of the hole that was left of him in him as a player, having never won a premiership. So, of course, went into coaching, ended up at your club.
Another
Mick,
dysfunctional club.
At Richmond.
Went from one to the other.
And obviously, you know, didn't have the ultimate success there, but led the club to a prelim final. And hearing Clinton Casey talk about Danny on Monday evening after the news came through, and he was emphatic that the success that Richmond enjoys now was thanks to the work that Danny Frawley did. He spoke about the professionalism that and discipline that was brought back to Punt Road under Danny, and basically said he didn't feel like Danny had been thanked enough for the work that he did at Richmond.
Yeah, well, got him into a prelim, didn't he, Ando, in 2001. And Matthew Richardson, who played under him for those 5 years, said that was his most enjoyable season he ever had. And he played a lot of seasons, Richo.
So, a prelim where they had to go to Brisbane, unfortunately, to one of the great sides of the modern era.
Got smashed.
Yeah. But that was something. Look, I think when he ultimately got sacked from Richmond, which was 2004.
Yep.
During the season, he received the news and elected to coach out the season.
He did, yeah. He had a contract, so he saw it out.
I saw Danny, I think, 3 years after that at the MCG at a game one night where he and I actually played with our kids in a Auskick game.
How'd you go?
No, and I didn't do too well, funnily enough. Lauren, I think I was kickless. Might have had one handball or something, which was smothered. But anyway, but Danny played in that. Now, he's watching the game, and he was just so into football. He just loved the game. Mm. But he'd been hurt by the fact that he hadn't succeeded as a coach. I said, Danny, you're part of the biggest club in sport, sack coaches. And then he gone on to head up the Coaches Association.
Yep.
He was torn in that role around the time where the James Heard saga was playing out of this, and which you were very involved in, Mick, and obviously John Longmire and Alistair Clarkson were very strong in their condemnation of James Heard having been appointed as a coach without having any prior experience. And they were right in that instance. And Danny was torn. And it was, I don't think he was the, you know, he just didn't want to upset people.
Yeah,
did he, in that
a
role.
Lot of peripheral people got sort of torn apart by the Essendon thing, didn't they? That was just one example of it. There was two funny moments, though, at Richmond. There was the chicken manure.
My favourite. One of my favourite football
where
stories,
did he,
that
he
one.
He scooped up some and took it home for the roses.
Well, yeah, I think
well,
it was...
That was the farmer in him coming out.
It was. Never let it go to waste. Yeah. Good manure. But, yeah, I think the fan's name was Gecko, and he thought he thought the Tigers had played like chooks against Geelong. So delivered a truck full to Punt Road. It was quite a scene, wasn't it?
And there was another one that Richo was saying where he was right at the end towards being sacked as coach, and he walked into the rooms with an electronic bike pump over his head and says, "I'm under the pump, boys." And just lightened the mood.
And then he went on to Triple M and had a really successful time there with the likes of Brian Taylor, our co-host, who sadly is unable to be involved today, but he was hit really hard with the news yesterday afternoon, BT. And Danny ultimately, unfortunately, left Triple M in 2015, and that really hurt him as well. I think that hurt him as much as anything. It really, he went on to SCM, but it was never the same for him there. And his self-worth was questioned. His self-esteem was questioned. And that knocks you around. Mm-hmm. And I think he doubted himself, and unfairly so, because he achieved more than most and had such a wide circle of friendship groups. Because he maintained his friends from his early days in Ballarat. Then he had his new mates, the media crew. And everywhere he went, he was a larger-than-life type figure. Sometimes you wondered whether that was totally... If there was a bit of a high there, that he was going to come down a bit hard the other way. That's what crossed my mind at times.
Well, I hope that this push to have the golden fist actually presented at the Brownlow comes to fruition, because I think it's a great idea. Defenders don't ever win awards.
Yep.
But you can't win games without great defenders, as we've seen year after year. So how good would it be to actually have an award for defenders on Brownlow night called the Golden Fist? And to remember Danny Frawley.
The petition is gaining traction as we speak. There's thousands and thousands of signatures. So to our listeners, I would encourage you all to jump on, because I'd love nothing more than on Brownlow night to see the Golden Fist. Why not keep the exact same trophy, Mick, from Bounce, from our friends at Fox Footy? I'd love to see Gil or one of the other AFL officials, just like Danny used to do every single week, hold that trophy up, push that funny little button and push the Golden Fist up into the air. It'd be fantastic to see.
When my kids were growing up, two boys, and they'd watch the show The Bounce, which has been on with Jason Dunstall and Danny for, I think it's 13 years. I did a story on it recently celebrating their birthday, how many episodes it had been. And Danny used to do that challenge with Jason all the time, where they did all manner of different sporting challenges. And then during it, Danny would sort of do a make a horse noise with his lips. Remember that one? So we used to have our kids walking around home doing Danny Frawley impersonations all the time. And, and Susie's saying, they look like horses. What's all this about? I said, oh, it's, no, it's a spud thing. You wouldn't,
you wouldn't understand.
But,
it was a great way, though, wasn't it? I mean, to have him as a player and then for a whole new generation of fans, a way to connect with the kids. And
yeah, he did that really well.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, the ultimate holy grail of footy came in August last year, coaching the old Halebury girls to a premiership. As we mentioned before, Danny, it was the hole that he always had as a player, he said, and he managed to fill it with two of his girls in the team. So I can't imagine the pride that he must have felt. He always spoke about it as one of his favourite football moments. So a fantastic memory, I'm sure, for the girls. And we're certainly thinking of his wife, Anita, Chelsea, Danielle and Keely at the moment. We can't imagine what they're going through, and we'll certainly miss him.
Who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
The Super Footy Podcast for TAB. Who are you backing this weekend? Righto, well, let's get stuck into the footy. Of course, it was a fantastic weekend of qualifying and elimination finals, boys, and a big weekend of semi-finals coming up. We've got to go all the way back to Thursday. Mick, your favourite day to play footy. We know your feelings about Thursday night games, but it feels like a hell of a long time ago since the Eagles toppled the Bombers. We'll look forward to this weekend's games and catch up with Jeremy Cameron, of course, the Coleman medal-winning forward a little bit later on. But let's just cast our minds back quickly and look at the big winners and the big losers from the weekend. We look favourably upon the winners, but who did you like? Of course, other than your team.
Well, yeah, the Tigers were good. But that's one of the pitfalls everyone falls into, don't they, Ando? After the first week of finals, you fall out of love with the loser of the qualifying final and in love with the winner of the elimination final. But history will tell you, usually the team bounces back that lost the qualifying final. Although I think the Eagles, Ando, are a different kettle of fish. They probably should have finished in the top four anyway. Stumbled against Hawthorn. And I don't like your chances, Geelong, of beating the Eagles on Friday night.
That's fair enough. That Eagles game, I think it was almost overshadowed by John Worsfold's future. And we had people coming out and saying that Ben Rutten was going to replace John Worsfold this year, which was ultimately proven wrong. And that may happen the year after, who knows? But John Worsfold's coaching Essendon next year. I found it strange that Xavier Campbell, the CEO, hadn't addressed it at all previously. He ultimately did. He could argue he didn't need to because John was contracted for next year. But there was so much noise, exterior noise about it. And in that situation, just came out and said he's our coach for next year. So it must have been discussed from me. Is that fair call, Mick? Would you say
Between Thursday and the Sunday when he gave the... Yeah, it must have been. Simon Madden, I heard, say something on Perth Radio too that he was safe. But you're right. Why didn't they say it a month ago? Why did he say it
at a VFL game on a Sunday?
Is it in a little doorstop? Yeah.
I don't think they're going to say it after the Western Bulldogs lost, though, were they? So if that was crucial at that particular stage. Anyway, he's coaching next year. Move on from that game where Nick Natanui made a successful comeback, which we may look back on in 3 weeks' time to say that was the moment that they remounted their premiership challenge, because they can still win it. No doubt at all, they can still win it.
Not many people can catch Adam Saad.
Exactly right.
Wow.
Friday night, Geelong Collingwood, as a Geelong supporter, I think halfway through the second quarter, Geelong was 6 goals down. He's just looking there thinking, what in the heck is going on here? This is the fifth final where a side's got an enormous start on
So why has that happened?
Oh, well, a bit of qualified people than me can't work it out, so what hope have I got of working it out? Why has it happened, Mick?
Well, I'll give you one reason what happened. Well, Blitzars was in the ruck and he wasn't in the defence to actually stop the ball coming through running into each other. That was one reason.
When I heard Jack Rewald quoted recently saying that one of the best blokes he's ever played on as a defender is Mark Blitzars and how what a general he is for Geelong in their defence, and then I see him in the ruck, I'm thinking, okay, Tommy Hawkins and Gary Rowe are not... And it's scoreboard pressure is a horrible cliche, but it's just a fact of life.
The Reece Stanley situation. Obviously, Chris Scott came out that night and said that the weather was an issue. They were a bit afraid that there was going to be a bit of rain. Obviously, it didn't happen. And then Reece Stanley comes out on Monday and says that he found out that he wasn't going to be playing against Collingwood at training on the Thursday. So they'd made the decision on the Thursday and told
him. This is Melbourne weather.
Exactly. It could have been 30 degrees.
If Chris wants to become a... Jane Bunn type. He's got to, he can't be going 24 hours out. Doesn't work. That surprised me that Reece Stanley made that comment that they'd already decided. Why pick him in the first place?
Exactly.
Because the side was...
He was dropped.
The side's not released until 6:30 on Thursday. Yeah,
they were just playing ducks and drakes. But he was dropped on Thursday. He knew that. Why is he such a polarising coach?
That's what I mean. Why doesn't he just say
his own supporters, Chris Scott? What is it that... is it his demeanour? Or what do you think...
Chris Scott came in and he doesn't get enough credit for his first year as coach. Geelong had a really bad 2010 final series, a shocking capitulation to Collingwood in a prelim final. He came in and he tweaked a few things. And the players who were there, and I talk about blokes like Paul Chapman who left the club and wasn't necessarily happy that he had to leave, but Chappie will stand by and say Chris Scott was a really good coach for Geelong that year. 2013, Geelong got into the prelim final against Hawthorn. They were a kick away. They lost by 6 points. Without Chapman had been rubbed out in the final against Port Adelaide, and Corey Enright didn't play. So So again, that's 3 years on. It's just finals now for me that Chris, and he'd be the first to admit, that the side has to start winning more finals. I don't have any problem. I don't know him very well as a bloke. Whenever I've dealt with him, he's clearly an intelligent person. He doesn't go out of his way to woo Geelong fans, but is that his job?
I thought it was interesting that Matthew Scarlett sort of shot down. He's been banging on about the home final thing, and Matty Scarlett said, "Well, no, actually, we want to play. Would rather play here at the MCG." I thought that was interesting.
But why would they keep on going on? Well, I couldn't agree more with you on that. It's just Colin Carter. Don't mention it. The players do not need any distraction at all. The grand finals played at the MCG. When you were winning premierships 2007, 2009, 2011, there was no issue with the MCG playing the finals there then. For Paul Roos to say Geelong should give up a lot of home games to go to the MCG, I didn't understand where he was coming from because it didn't affect Geelong 10 years ago. So what's the issue?
That's right. What about the little master who Tim Watson said almost looked disinterested, to quote him, Gary Ablett's game last week?
Gary sets incredibly high standards for himself. He would be disappointed that Braden Maynard had the better of him that night. Maynard played a ripper game, full credit to him. Collingwood's midfield, which has been highly touted, Taylor Adams just showed how important he is at both sides, offensive end, kicking two goals, but also the defensive side with Steel Sidebottom and Adam Treloar and Scott Pendlebury. It's pretty handy, isn't it?
There's one thing you can't do is allow Lewis Jetta the space that Essendon did, because he will cut you to shreds. So I reckon that's one.
Well, I'll tell you what, we gave Collingwood plenty of space.
You did, 123 marks.
Uncontested, a lot of uncontested. And West Coast always play that game, and they play at the MCG. As Collingwood would tell you, Collingwood got beaten by the MCG in a home and away game a couple of years ago and allowed them that space, and then they tightened up after that. So it'd be interesting to see how Geelong's team selection this week. I would think that Gary Rowan couldn't play, and even if he was fit, he wouldn't play anyway. And that Jack Henry may be the mid-size third tall who goes forward to try and at least contest and not allow McGovern and Barras to take uncontested marks like we saw Darcy Moore doing along with Jeremy Howe last Friday night. He got to at least contest.
Even though the Pies got up, the De Goey loss and the Greenwood loss, that's huge, I think. Because De Goey, well, we know he's the Dustin Martin sort of, he's Collingwood's Dusty. And Greenwood would go to Dusty if they were ever to play.
Well, if Greenwood the projected grand final that we're, I think, all getting ahead hoping of to see. Well, particularly you, but you're right.
So he's, can Wolfgang Amadeus Hans Muller, or whatever his name is, get De Goey? Can he inject him back into the final?
Well,
Emmy Hearns.
This is listening to Nathan Buckley talk about it on Tuesday morning. I think even Collingwood people, I wouldn't use sceptical, but I think even they are a little bit concerned that this isn't going to work. He described it as a complete Hail Mary.
Right.
I think someone said it was 22 days between the injury and what would be the grand final if they make it. Your typical hamstring's probably 21 days, Ando.
Yeah.
Touch wood, I've never done one. But they look really, really painful, so I'm hoping not to. I mean, long flight over there. He's gone with a couple of club medicos from what we understand. But this bloke...
I reckon he's in 1A, though. I don't think it's a long flight.
I wouldn't have thought.
Lauren, you're saying 21 days. That's for a torn hamstring in the old?
It is.
This is not a torn hamstring.
Well, that from Nathan Buckley, the way he put it was that he had a slight tear of the hamstring within the first few minutes of the game. Then it was the playing on it for another 45 to 50 minutes, of course, caused a significant amount of bleeding to what has shown to be a small hamstring tear. So, I mean, this guy, who's he treated? He's got Ronaldo on the books.
Yeah.
I think he's got Bono from U2.
Yeah,
Usain
I didn't know
Bolt.
Bono. What, do you need a hamstring to do the guitar?
Well, he must have done a big rip, you know, up the fist pump to the crowd, sort of jump off the end of the stage.
First time we heard about him in AFL was Max Rule.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was successful for Max
Dylan Rule. Grimes as well.
Yep.
Who had chronic hamstrings and now...
Moore and Elliott, probably not the same result with
Darcy
those,
Moore went to see this guy earlier in the year and he tells a classic story that he you go in there and he said that it's this very opulent sort of little... what's the word I'm looking for? Clinic.
Yep.
And with, you know, 20...
Nurses
in little outfits. He said they all look the same. So it's just a fascinating place. And the big Hans comes in and give you about 30 or 40 needles... little acupuncture and trying to get right into the tissue. And it does obviously work.
Well, it does. Even Buck said, though, there seems to be, no matter where you live, there seems to be a local bloke who thinks he can do this. So even Buckley said, he goes, all these people are saying, oh, you're sending him off to Germany, but there's a few blokes in country Victoria. I know there's one down on the Mornington Peninsula who's known amongst the local footballers as Dr. Death.
He's just a masseuse.
I think he's recently retired, so I reckon he'd come out of retirement for Jordan DeGoey. But, I mean, it's a great story to follow, isn't it?
That was Collingwood Geelong, then it was GWS and Western Bulldogs. Did you pick the Bulldogs in that game?
No, I can't even remember my tipping. It was that long ago. I tipped the Bulldogs, actually, because we were talking about it here last week with Robbo and BT about the force of momentum. But I think the way that GWS came out, and they were clearly sent in, you know, to crash and bash into the Western Bulldogs, literally and figuratively, it was an incredible revenge on what happened at that stadium.
So what do they do this week with Brisbane Lions? Can you try that tactic again, given that Brisbane are going to be expecting it?
I wouldn't have thought so.
That's how you play finals, isn't it, Andy?
But not to the degree. They took it to an nth degree.
Well, they got away with it.
Yeah, no, it was good. Hey, I'm not knocking it. I've got no problems with it.
How they beat Sydney a couple of years ago. Remember the qualifying final 2017, I think? They just bashed Sydney. And the Giants have got the talent. I like it when they play like that psychotic style as well,
because when
you put in that attitude and that skill, they're just about unbeatable.
Did you think Toby Green would, or should he have been rubbed out? Was that
I just found it fascinating that they sent him to the tribunal for serious misconduct and the AFL recommended a fine. What a waste of time. Why did we go to the tribunal? If the AFL wanted to fine him, just fine him.
I was
stunned.
Don't
go through this. And
then there's a cynical among us who thought he was never going to get rubbed out because the AFL would love GWS to get into at least a
pulling final.
Well,
it's not cynical. That's what happened, Ando. The AFL said, we don't want him suspended. We want him fined. Going to be suspended.
I mean, and I know it's not a courtroom, it's an AFL tribunal, but wouldn't you start with a suspension and work your way back from
there?
He's going to plead guilty, so we'll reduce it a bit, and then he'll apologise and we'll reduce it a bit. But, I mean, to be charged, the name of the charge was serious misconduct.
Yeah.
It was serious.
What it really was a little bit serious misconduct.
So a little bit serious-ish misconduct. The medical report, from what we understand, is what this hinged on. So obviously, you know, apparently it was the fact that the Western Bulldogs had nothing on the medical report.
Away from Toby Green, I saw a player who is, in my mind, clearly the best running player, the best exponent of athleticism meets football, because Lockie Whitfield not only is he, you can imagine, a great 400, 800 metre runner, but also someone who's got an incredible vision,
yep,
an incredible head about how to play football and to find space in tight areas and then use the ball better and better. He is the preeminent footballer in the competition in that role.
He's a Peninsula School.
He's what we to call a GPB, Mick, a good
boy. So you two are both from that school.
Well, a GPB sitting next to me and a GPG sitting here.
Exactly. Nathan Jones, Jacob Wietering.
There's quite a few over the years. Yeah. It's been a fruitful football program.
Two number one draft
years.
Picks, actually, yeah, recently.
He goes down in that vein of footballers of the imagine if he played in Melbourne. You know, we used to say about Matthew Pavlidis, if Lockie played in Melbourne...
Is the expectation that Lockie will come back to Melbourne?
Well, next year he's easy. A free agent, he's out of contract.
Yeah,
he's not a Cripps or a Martin yet, though, is he, Ando? You're not saying that he's...
Depends what you want.
Well, if they're lined up against the wall, who are you going to take, Cripps, Martin or Whitfield?
Depends who I've already got within my football club. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm serious.
If
I'm Carlton and I've got Cripps and Sam Walsh and... I want outside run. I want Lockie Whitfield ahead of one of the others. Yeah, but every day. It depends exactly what style of player you want.
The All-Australian selectors, though, the longer Dusty... I know this doesn't count the finals, but seriously, how did Dustin Martin not get in the All-Australian team? What a joke.
It's that record that's broken that's come back on a good day.
You really flogged that horse over the last couple of weeks, haven't you,
Mick? Well, it's the first time I've mentioned it.
Geez, they were unbelievable.
Okay, let's go on to Saturday night. Tigers played it. They played Brisbane Lions.
Yes, I was at the London Tavern. It was magnificent. It was like Woodstock down there, I tell you. Look, Brisbane, everyone's...
Woodstock, you're all having a joint.
What's going on
Is that what happened at Woodstock?
I believe so. I don't think they're drinking VB cans at Woodstock.
Anyway, it was a big night there.
It was a big night at the Gabba. I was at the Gabba, and I tell you what, a hell of a lot of Richmond fans were too. I think it was about 35% of the crowd. And there were a few nervous types at quarter time.
Oh, yes.
I'd sort of started writing my match report a little bit, as we do. You sort of jot a few things down as it goes on. But the second quarter was something to behold. But I know so much has been made of Dustin Martin, but that third quarter from Shane Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
I know we always talk about him and say how underrated he is, but is it possible that he's maybe just rated
just
now?
Enough of Richmond.
He's rated.
That was the only good 45 minutes of the finals, though, so far, that first half. The rest of the footy, you'd have to say, has been a little bit ho-hum.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, two big ones this week, as you mentioned earlier, Ando, Geelong and West Coast. Friday night, do you think, you said before, the space, is that item number one on the agenda for Chris Scott at the moment, or is it checking the weather?
First quarter.
Yeah, I think
we're starting well. They just
start fast.
I reckon if Geelong start with them and at quarter time they go in sort of fairly close, they'll be thinking they can win based on everything that happens in those finals. But can they start? The West Coast, I'm an optimistic Geelong supporter. I think West Coast will win, Lauren. I don't like saying it, but the MCG holds no fears for them at all.
Not anymore, does it?
It might come in back if they keep coming back. Because I know as a Richmond supporter, Mick, you don't want to play West Coast.
No, no. That was Hawthorn stuffed everything up about 3 weeks ago there. But look, Tommy Hawkins needs to find the goals, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Selwood, you reckon, will move back into the guts this week?
Duncan's a wingman who's playing.
That's a big blow.
I'm not sure who the Cats bring in that role to play as a wingman. Charlie Constable's a young player who's unlucky not to have played more footy.
Yep.
He probably suffers. He struggles maybe to play on the same side as Menegola because of their leg speed. There's a fair bit of sameness about them. But Constable's a really good young player. He can find the ball. Cam Guthrie would be a big in for Geelong because he's got leg speed. And I'm not sure where he's at with fitness.
What about the travel factor, Mick? There'll be so much made of this if the Eagles continue to progress over the next few weeks. But if they do keep winning, this will be the first of three straight weeks of travel to Melbourne, which, if my calculations are correct, is a minimum 24 hours sitting on planes, plus the transit time to the airport, plus the sitting in the lounge, all the rest of it. But are you used to it 3 weeks running and at finals intensity football?
It's going to make it harder, but I don't see it as a
defining
more than
factor.
5% factor.
How many injuries they got at the moment? I would have thought virtually nil.
Not many, which is what you like at this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, Brisbane the same. Brisbane's had the best run of anyone.
Well, they've just lost Mitch Robinson, though. That's a huge blow for them. Yeah. He's a made for finals, that guy.
Heart and soul.
And big blow. Geez, didn't Hodgie... Everyone had retired him off, but he was probably their best player.
I wonder
they
whether...
They had to put him to dust.
Did you see his right foot kicking the other night? Luke Hodge? I mean, we're talking about an excellent left foot kick. He went onto his right foot three times where he's hit blokes on the boundaries, a matter of 2 or 3 feet, and he's just absolutely nailed it. That's brilliant to watch that sort of football.
Superstar.
When he was one out with Dustin Martin at one point, wasn't he?
And he was
just absolutely unbelievable.
And he got him too.
He certainly did.
He waited. Dusty went to ground. Hodge didn't go to ground.
Chris Fagan would have had his job cut out with, obviously, the review of the game and how they let Richmond off the chain like that. But I wonder whether he put the call in to Hodgie, let him have a coffee Sunday morning, and then maybe gave him a ring and said, do you reckon, I know you've already retired, but
play
maybe
again.
One
does
more?
Does he play on Toby Green?
Well, why not?
He's not going to take any of Toby's crap, I can tell you that.
I'll tell you who needs a lift, Eric Hipwood. With Charlie Cameron being so quiet, Hipwood needed to lift, and he's been found wanting so
Nathan
far.
Nathan Broad, your man, he did a magnificent job on Hipwood. It was probably the best two-possession game we saw across the weekend. I know he was statless at quarter time and people sort of started raising eyebrows about Nathan Ford, but he just absolutely blanketed Eric Hipwood. And then once he missed a couple, it sort of got in there a little bit, didn't it? And I mean, you would have to expect they're obviously back on their home deck again this week, slightly less phased by the whole finals football thing. The Gabba was absolutely rocking on Saturday night. It was huge, but you'd have to think they won't be that inaccurate again.
I think GWS will get them.
Yeah, I'm starting
more,
to lean
more
that
seasoned.
Way.
This group of GWS have been together for a long time, and there's that real inner feeling about we've got to achieve. This is the time, and I think they'll get them.
Well, let's ask Jeremy Cameron.
Very happy to be joined by the Coleman Middle. It's got a nice ring to that. Jeremy Cameron, how are you, Jeremy?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
It's something you would have aspired to as a young bloke, I would think.
I got into footy quite late, but I've always watched it my whole life, and I really enjoyed watching, guys like Matthew Lloyd and, Richo and these sorts of guys kick bags of goals and Fev and the types like that, and always took a strong interest in key forwards. So it's probably not, something I thought would ever happen because I didn't get into footy till I was 15, but, it's all happened very quickly, and I'm nearly halfway through my career now.
I'm going to take you back to an interview you did with the Herald Sun chief footy writer Mark Robinson pre-season where you were far from boastful, but you did say that you had a few injury problems last year and you got rubbed out for a few games as well. So on the back of that, Robbo suggested that a few of us put a couple of legal dollars, I might add, we all bet responsibly, of course, on you at, I think, about $22, Jeremy. So we're very, very happy when you got that bag in the last round against Gold Coast. So thank you for that. We'll take you out for lunch when you're in Melbourne next.
No worries at all. Cool.
Hopefully around grand final week. It's last week must have been really big win for you boys against Western Bulldogs, who are a form side.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we, it's hard enough to make finals. And we're very, we've done it 4 years in a row now. So, it's good to sit down and have some dinner as a full club, before the finals kicked off. And, in that dinner, it was actually when Cox re-signed that night. But we said that, we don't want to just bow out in the first round. We want to go as far as we possibly can. And it was good to, put those words into actions, I guess, on the weekend. And we played a good brand of footy and that we know stacks up in finals, and hopefully we can take that into this week against Brisbane.
Jeremy, you've almost got your best team out on the track now. I think Ward, you won't get Callum Ward back, and then there's Cornelio. What chance is he to get to play the prelim if you get through?
To be honest, I haven't really asked him personally, but he's training really hard behind the scenes here, so it's one of them things that you sort of hope that you can get him back, and all we can really do is focus on winning, obviously. But he's not too far off, but it'll be very touch and go still. So I'm sure the coaches will probably sit down with him and have a long hard think about it. But if he's not up around 100%, he probably won't play.
It's quite emotional after the game with Brett Deledio. Were you aware that he'd done his calf? I think he said he did it in the first quarter and didn't tell anyone and played on.
Yeah, I was actually, I was one of the ones that was aware. You know, I sort of talked to Lid quite often because he's that, you know, mature, you know, veteran of the forward line of the team, to be honest. And I talked to him a fair bit, and he did mention to me that he'd done it. But
during the game, did he? Just whispered it to you?
To then play on for another three quarters was huge for the team. And he mentioned after the game, I think, that he didn't want to impact on rotations, and that was huge for us, particularly in a final. You have guys like Brent Daniels and that who have played every game in their second year, and you need as many rotations as possible. For him to stay out there and play the role he did was huge.
Jeremy, there's one giant in particular that people seem to love to talk about either way, don't they? And that's obviously Toby Green. He's dominated the conversation down here in Melbourne, particularly over the last 24 hours. How did you follow the tribunal hearing? Do you follow it along on Twitter, or are you one to just sort of wait for the outcome? And obviously you were you would have been quite pleased with the outcome, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I don't follow it at all. So I haven't been watching. But yeah, he was obviously, you know, he's widely talked about and for his actions on the field, and you know, a lot of them are good actions in the way he plays his footy and how he dominates games of footy. So I wasn't really watching, but I did see the update that he got off, and it's obviously a great result for the club.
What does it do for you as a forward to have him beside you? Because, I mean, there were so many suggesting that maybe he should have missed a week for what he did, and that would have been a massive loss for you guys, obviously, heading up to the Gabba. But do you sort of walk a little bit taller when he's next to you?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he obviously was... He put his hand up and said that, you know, he probably shouldn't have done what he did. But, you know, there was lots of reports around it that he'd eye-gouged Bont, and they obviously weren't true, otherwise he would have copped weeks. But, you know, he plays his footy right on the edge, and we love that as a forward line. I've played a lot of footy with him, and he brings that every week, and he wants to play really good footy for the side, and definitely a lot of the younger boys walk taller when he's out there.
Stephen Canile re-signing is massive for the GWS for the next, 7 years, isn't it? So, with your situation, you're at a contract at the end of next year?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
So when do you sit down with the club and talk about that?
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, you, as a player, you sit down with them sort of throughout the year, but at the moment it's just finals first sort of mindset, but as soon as the year's done, you know, all these conversations will take place. So that's sort of, you know, the club's been really good and just letting me focus on footy first.
Get up to Brisbane. The brand of footy you played on the weekend was really exciting, I've got to say, and very tough, but that's what finals footy is all about, Jeremy. So we wish you the best, and hopefully might see you down in Melbourne and Prelim final weekend.
Yeah, that's the goal. So, you know, for us, it's just about backing up this week. So the whole club's excited, and we'll train hard, and can't wait to get up there and get stuck into it.
Thanks, Jeremy. Congratulations on the Coleman medal.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Well, the Superfooty podcast, of course, is brought to you by Tab. Who are you backing this weekend? It's great to catch up, as it is every week, with Jared Daffy from the Tab. How are you feeling, Jared? It's going to be a big weekend of footy.
It is, Lauren, and of course, from here on in, it's all sudden death, isn't it? And I guess there's a couple of teams there that we didn't think would have to take the hard path, and Geelong is one of those. And oddly enough, they're out of favour with punters. They're outsiders this week. They're $2 outsiders. The money is with the West Coast, $1.80. So not much in a price-wise, but Geelong are the outsiders there. And Brisbane, well, it's hard to know what this game will produce, but Giants, $2.30 outsiders. Oddly, Toby Green, him being out of the side, got them to $2.30. We now know that he's eligible to play, and it hasn't really changed the price. So their lengthy outside is $2.30, Brisbane $1.62. We've got a handicap line there of 8.5 points.
Well, it's always the way with the Cats, isn't it? I suppose we drop off the losers very quickly, as we discussed earlier. But what about that flag market? I know Richmond and Collingwood are obviously equal favourites to make the grand final, but I'd imagine after that performance against the Lions on Saturday night, the Tigers are still the ones to beat.
Yeah, it's a good point, and they do have the weekend off, as we know, but there's a fairly big disparity in the two prices here. Now, Richmond are $2.40, Collingwood are $3.50. I guess the Collingwood big price is based on the fact that they're probably going to be missing De Goey, so that does raise some question marks for them. Behind those, well, there's not much between the four remaining sides. We've got the West Coast at $8, Geelong at $9, Brisbane $11, and the GWS, the $13 outsiders. But for obvious reasons, the Tigers have been the money side this week and really, really popular at $2.40.
And rightfully so after a performance like that, I would say. And what about, we've got less than 2 weeks now until the Brownlow. We're well and truly in countdown mode. How's that one shaping?
Well, Dangerfield's been the player that everybody wants to be on. He came with a rush at the finish. He may well have got 8 or 9 votes the last three rounds. He's into $3 favourite now. A big, big bet with Tab last week. $25,000 on Dangerfield at $3. He's still that quote. Behind him, we've got Bontempelli and Lockie Neal, both at $5. Nathan Fyfe at $6. Paddy Cripps, $11. Brody Grundy's attracted some support. $17 into $15 in the last 7 days. Adam Treloar, $17. And then Tim Kelly at $26, along with Jackson McRae. The thing there, of course, is that Paddy Cripps, Tim Kelly spent most of the favourites, most of the season as favourites, and you know, they're out of favour now.
What about looking into the crystal ball? If there's one thing you blokes at the Tab don't do, it's rest on your laurels. It's scary to think, but we love looking a little bit further ahead. You've already got next year's flag market open. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, due to public request, it's up and running as well, and it's tough. $5 Richmond, $6 Collingwood, $7 West Coast, $10 Brisbane and Geelong, $11 Bulldogs, $13 GWS, $17 or better for the rest.
Scary to think, really. We've got a big couple of weeks ahead before we can look to 2020. As you say, Richmond, well and truly the ones to beat from here. We appreciate your time, as always, Jared. And if you're having a bet this weekend, make sure you do so responsibly.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Super Footy Podcast. An incredibly sad week in the football world. We'll miss Danny Frawley. He's an incredible character across this landscape. He's touched so many lives and absolutely larger-than-life character who will be so sorely missed by all who knew him. A magnificent week of football ahead. Best of luck to your team if they still remain in the contest. We'll catch you next week.